gracias Deo, gloria in excelsis Deo.
Let us pray to the Lord. May the words of my mouth and the meditation in our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. And Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
If you've ever been camping, have you ever noticed how close you've got to be with the people you're camping with? All vanity is thrown to the wind. You get up in the morning, and the friends you're with will all see you at your absolute worst. Most of the time, you don't even have a chance to look into a mirror before you step out of the tent, and your friends see your hair in total disarray, and who knows what the rest of your face looks like. You eat, sleep, work, play. You do everything else in close proximity. So much for pride and dignity. When you go camping, or when you go tenting, you start to really and truly, you get to really, truly get to know and relate to the people you're with. You realize that all people get cold, all people get embarrassed and laugh. All people get worried, especially if you've forgotten the toilet paper. All people get excited. All people look kind of funny when they get out of their tent first thing in the morning. And all people share a lot more in common than we realize. But it's a very good way to bond and grow closer to the people you're with, to relate, to be like a family, to be close. Tenting really makes you grow close and see all that you really do have in common at the end of the day. Tenting makes you join one another, sharing each other's space and sharing each other's lives. In John 1:14, the original word that the ESV translates as dwelt, that he dwelt among us, the word dwelt among us, may also be properly translated as tented. Thus the verse could very easily read like this: and the Word became flesh and tented among us, and we have seen His glory. The Word, Jesus Christ, tented among us. It takes us back to the Old Testament when the people of Israel were so close to the Lord because the Lord literally traveled with them through the desert in an elaborate and beautiful tabernacle, which in truth was a great tent. God was camping with the Israelites. The cloud of His presence was constantly over the tabernacle, and on some occasions the Lord Himself met the high priest in the Holy of Holies within that tent. God joined His people in a wonderfully intimate way. But as intimate and as close as that was, dear people of God, there was still a distinct separation going on between God and the people. There was a need for a mediator, like the high priest, to stand between the Lord and God's people. But when Jesus Christ was born, all of that changed. God no longer appeared in a cloud or a pillar of fire or within an exclusive Holy of Holies. Now, God got even closer. He actually joined us. He tented among us by taking on the very flesh that we live and that we breathe in. He tented among us by becoming one of us. And as He was just like us, He began His journey as a little baby in order to perfectly relate to us, to relate to you. He tented with you, and He tents with you today. This is what makes Christmas so wonderfully special. Christmas is the celebration of the day when God began to tent with you in the most close and personal way possible. But before I elaborate further, let me state this warning. Our sinful nature constantly tries to put down this truth. There's something about the ordinary, the regular, the body that we resent. It can seem so plain and so monotonous. It can seem so unimpressive and seem so inadequate. We see ourselves aging. We so easily see our weaknesses and we quickly understand our limitations. Surely, we think to ourselves, God is above all of this. I was reading in a book on the philosophy of religion an interesting opinion on how our religion can seem so inadequate. It claimed that we try to express in the form of doctrine that which is so far above us. God is so far removed. He's so much greater. He's so much mightier. Who are we to assume that we can in any way possibly relate to Him? Now, I'm not saying that God isn't infinitely greater than we are. Of course, He is. But when we sinfully treat the Lord as if by virtue of His greatness, by virtue of His otherness, that He must stay outside of our lives, we make a grave and a sinful mistake. We're wrong when we assume that what is revealed in the Word is unreasonable, and that the Lord is not as close to us as the Holy Bible says He is. But know this. This is how our flesh wants it to be. We want the Lord to be close, but not too close. We complain of our limitations well enough, but if we can keep God way over us, then we will have a free conscience about keeping Him out of the rest of our lives. We will not, therefore, feel compelled to pray to Him about the daily grind, the ordinary, the basic things of our lives. Why should we? He can't really relate. We're little. He's big. We're weak. He's strong. We're finite. He's infinite. Why should we really treat Him as if He were actually like one of us? That would surely be ludicrous. If I did not maintain my sinful separation, then I'd actually have to treat the Lord as if I were tending with Him and He were tending with me. But who wants to tent with God? Then God would have to see how I look when I first get up in the morning. Then God would see me as I really am. And I'm not sure I really want Him to be that close. And it is for this reason that pride is the main characteristic of our sin. We would hold on to our vanity and avoid camping with God. But just as it's true that folks who don't go camping don't realize the fun they're missing, it's also true that those who keep the Lord at arm's length don't realize the life. Indeed, the only lasting and good life that they're missing. The Lord does not want you to avoid Him, but He wants you to know just how much He would love for you to know that tenting with you would be His pleasure and His delight. Not to embarrass you, not to condemn you, but to show that it is the only way for Him to save you. He must tent with you. He must be just like you. He must come down to your level. He must join your daily life. He cares about the most simple and routine aspects of your life to the extent that not a single hair on your head falls without His knowledge of it. Not a single tear is shed without His heart going out to you. Not a single thought is considered unimportant. And nothing about your weaknesses and limitations keep him from being glad to come to you in your tent. But how dare we go on this way? How can we possibly know these things? We know this because of Christmas. God wants to smash the myth that he is far removed. He desires to obliterate the claim that he can't relate. He says this day, much to the contrary, I desire to tent with you, to be one with you, to be as my family member, my best friend, my brother, my sister. I want to know you as you are, and even more, I have willed to be just as you are. This is what God accomplished on that first Christmas. He became like you. He took on the permanent status of knowing what it's like to tent with you. To complement what John 1:14 teaches us, and what is recorded in the gospel is what is recorded in the epistle today from Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 2. On page 16 of our worship bulletin, I have this reference from Hebrews chapter 2 highlighted. It's in bold. Let's read it together as God's people. This is about just how much our Lord relates to you and to me. We read it together as the people of God. Therefore, he had to be made like his brothers in every respect, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Christmas is God's way of saying, I have joined you because my son became just like you, because he tented with you in the flesh. God and man are one in Christ. And as you hold to this baby born on Christmas Day, God relates to every aspect of your life. He understands. He knows. He sympathizes. He suffers with you. He relates. And in relating as he did, Christ became utterly convinced of something. He was convinced that to tent with you meant that he would be willing to do anything for you. When you get that close, you don't ever want to let go. He never has, and he never will. Thus, he was unwilling to allow you to lose hope. He was unwilling to allow you to perish. He is unwilling to allow you who shared his tent to die in your sins. He won't have it. So because of his great love, while being just like you, he paid the ultimate price for his tent mates. He died for you. He shed his blood for you. He took the punishment for your sin. Sin of keeping God out and all the other sins. And when he rose the third day, he proved just how worthwhile it was to begin tenting with you on Christmas morning. It was worth it. Because through his glorious resurrection, it is a tenting that has become glorious. Yes, the baby grew up, and your Savior to this day bears the marks of his love, of his tenting. In heaven, we will see the marks in his hands and on his feet, the proof of his love for tenting with you, for being one with you, for sharing every part of your lives. Like the poinsettias that adorn our church this morning, they are like a star in the middle, surrounded with red that reminds us of what this child would do. His birth marked by the Star of Bethlehem, ushered him into our tent, so that by taking our flesh, he would shed his royal blood for us, and then share with us the spoils of his victory over sin and death. Now on this new Christmas morning, you are within the tent of his church, especially in this particular church, which is a hard tent. And here, through his word and sacrament, Christ is with us still, keeping us covered in the forgiveness of sins and the gift of eternal life. It is a happy Christmas. We tent with Christ, who tented and who tents with us. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus until he comes again in glory. Amen.